Here's a quote from economist Steve Moore. If we have major towns and cities in the country without electric power for stretches of time because of green energy fixation, Americans are going to be mighty angry and our economy will take a major hit. When our manufacturers, schools, hospitals, and internet shut down, we're not going to think wind and solar power are so chic. Steve Moore now joins us. He's an economist with FreedomWorks. He also was on the Trump transition team for economic concerns. I'm Jerry Newcomb. This is Vocal Point. Steve, great to have you back on. Thank you for joining us.
Hi, Jerry.
Hey, I think I might have messed up a little bit on what your role was with the Trump campaign, but just to say it, do it now, and we'll get right into energy.
Well, I did actually work on the transition as an economic advisor, and I also worked as a senior advisor to the campaign in 2016. So I got to know Donald Trump, pretty well, and so that's great. And by the way, the guy I worked with on the campaign, Larry Kudlow, is now the chief economist for Trump, which is great news. But this story that you were just quoting from my piece about is, I think, a really important one for the country that a lot of people are not paying nearly enough attention to as they should, which is, what are we doing with our electric power system, and are we risking brownouts and blackouts in the future if we allow many of our coal plants and nuclear plants to go out of business? There's been a rash of bankruptcies of some of these companies. And look, I believe in the free enterprise system. I think let the best form of energy win, except that we have so many governmental intrusions into this market that it's hardly a free market system. And I do worry that we may see, because of short-sighted policies, a reduction in our electric power supply, which would mean higher prices and potential interruptions in our energy supply, which would be devastating.
Now, where does President Trump fit into all this?
Well, that's a good question. I think Trump is, when I talked to him about energy policy, as you know, Jerry, we've talked about this before on your show. I wrote a book 2 years ago called Fueling Freedom, Exposing the Mad War on Energy. And I spent a lot of time with him explaining the shale oil and gas revolution and how we are capable of becoming the number one oil and gas producer in the world. And by the way, this time next year, we probably will be, which is a great news story. And he also supports coal. We went to a lot of the coal towns in America that have been wiped out due to Obama regulations, and a lot of middle-class families got devastated by that. And so I think Trump gets it. This is it's a complicated issue because the way these utilities, deliver electricity, the various, there's all sorts of governing bodies. There's the federal regulators, there's the state regulators, there's the local utilities. So it's a very complicated process. But what he does understand, which I think a lot of Americans don't, is if we have disruptions in our electric power supply, and if you stick your power supply into that socket in the wall, and electric power doesn't come out, then you got real problems. I mean, think about what that would mean for our schools, our hospitals, sure, our universities, our businesses, our manufacturers. So there's a big risk we're taking here that our electric grid system may not be reliable.
Well, yeah, I mean, all you got to do is look at Puerto Rico post that hurricane.
Yep, exactly. Well, that's a great point. They've been without, a lot of these towns have been without electric power for months. And, in that case, you're living your life like, a third world country where you're just access to clean water and, heat and air conditioning and things that we take for granted, may not be available. Now, why is this happening? And the answer, there are a lot of answers. One is that we put so many regulations on the nuclear and coal industry that it's hard for them to compete. That's number one. And number two, we so massively subsidize wind and solar power that it's made it very difficult for some of these other, forms of electricity production to stay in business. And yet the problem with solar and wind power, I mean, there's multitude of problems with them. They can solve some niche issues, but we're never going to get the preponderance of our energy from wind and solar power. That's a crazy notion. The problem is, what happens when the wind doesn't blow, Jerry? What happens when the sun doesn't shine? Sure. I mean, you and I are from Chicago, right? I mean,
right.
You can't have solar power in Chicago if the sun doesn't shine enough there.
Yeah. Oh, that's a good point. By the way, I remember in your book, it was a very small percentage, but I don't remember exactly what it was. You were talking about how wind and solar at best can give us something like less than 4% of our energy needs or served through them.
That's a pretty, you've got a pretty good memory. So that, and by the way, we wrote that book 2 years ago, so I have the updated numbers for you.
Okay.
So in 2017, which is the latest numbers for the year of 2017, we got 1% of our electricity. 1% of our electricity came from solar power. Most people think it's about 40%. It's 1%, so it's completely insignificant. And wind is at about 4 or 5%. So we get maybe 5 or 6% of our electricity from wind and solar power. The number one source of power is natural gas. That's about 34%. 33% comes from coal still. So, we get 2/3 of our electric power from natural gas and coal, and then we get about 15% from nuclear power. By the way, nuclear power is a great way to generate electricity. It doesn't, pollute. You don't get greenhouse gases from a nuclear power and so on. And it's a pretty stable source of supply, and yet we're shutting down. One of my big concerns is we're shutting down a lot of our nuclear plants. And, Jerry, once you shut down one of those plants, you can't just fire it right back up again.
Yeah. Now, why are they shutting them down? That's for environmental concerns, right? Ultimately?
For a couple reasons. One is they have problems. Every form of electricity production right now has problems because of natural gas. Natural gas prices have fallen thanks to the shale gas revolution. We have the cheapest natural gas in the world. This is a good thing, by the way. So we have very cheap and abundant natural gas, and that's made all the other forms of electric power less, price competitive. Now, if we had a true free market, the first things that would be tossed out the window would be wind and solar power, because those are hopelessly inefficient, except in certain rare circumstances. And yet what we do is we just literally deluge the wind and solar industry. Did you see what happened in California, where they're now requiring every new home in California has to have solar paneling on their roof? So you're forcing people to buy this stuff whether they want it or not.
Yeah, and you say in your article that that adds about $10,000 per house.
Yeah, and by the way, people in California have said, what are you talking about? It's not $10,000. They say it might be $15,000 or $20,000. We don't know for sure.
Oh, wow.
But, they already have a housing affordability problem in California. This is going to make it worse. And so what I'm arguing for is let's take reliability into account. Let's make sure the lights never do go out. It's like saying, I use the analogy in my article, if you wanted a glass of water, you can get a glass of water for free, right? But if you're in the desert and there's no water, you would pay thousands of dollars for a glass of water. So, the risk of not having access to water, or in this case, electricity, when you really need it, you're willing to pay an insurance policy to make sure that the lights don't go off and that the energy supply doesn't get disrupted. And that might mean you might have to pay a little bit more, but you're going to be assured that it never shuts off.
Yeah. By the way, I was just in Silicon Valley, and as we were driving around, you see one home after another, and you could see it. We were at one point in a mountain type setting looking down over Silicon Valley, and yet we could see all those different solar panels on the roofs and so forth. And it's exactly what you're talking about. Now, here's something you say in your article. In most markets, solar and wind power survive purely because the states mandate that as much as 30% of residential and commercial power come from these sources. So these mandates, which are in place, of course, long before President Trump took office.
Oh, yeah, they've been years and years before.
Yeah, that's part of what the whole problem is. These are the kind of regulations that are hurting us in the long run.
Yeah, so there's all these different tiers of regulations and mandates that benefit the solar and wind industry, including, what we call the renewable energy standards. They have them in California. They have them in New York. I think like 40 states or something have requirements that the utilities purchase a certain amount of renewable energy as part of their supply, and that means that utilities, regardless of the price, have to buy it. So that's what keeps these the wind and solar industries in business in many places. And by the way, a lot of those renewable energy standards keep going up and up and up and up every year. So in some places it's like 5% this year, 10%, then 20, then 25, then 30. And those are going to be increasingly difficult for our utilities to comply with. And that is a reason why we're seeing, and by the way, why is it renewable energy? Why wouldn't we consider nuclear energy to be a renewable form of energy? Right? I mean, you're never going to run out of nuclear energy, right? It's totally renewable because you don't use really any resources, in getting the energy. And just in terms of the environmental consequences, I mean, the problem with like windmills is, you know, if you wanted to provide enough electricity for Manhattan at night, you'd have to pave over virtually the whole state of Connecticut to get enough, you know, in terms of windmills, to get enough wind power to get it into Manhattan, whereas one nuclear power plant could provide all the power that you need for Manhattan or Philadelphia. And so the question is, why would we want to have massive amount of windmills and solar panels all over that place when you could just have one, you know, electric power plant and nuclear, and same thing with, you know, natural gas or coal? They don't take up nearly as much land mass, and so they're more green in that sense.
You know, it's interesting too, because isn't it true that when it comes to some of the large windmills or whatever, I don't mean, you know, like the old Dutch windmills, I'm talking about the more modern ones, aren't a lot of birds killed in those? I mean, that just happens, you know, and that's kind of not good for the environment, right?
Yeah. Well, by the way, the new term of art is wind farms. They call them wind farms.
Okay.
And so, you're right. I mean, and it's interesting because I'm good friends with a CEO of a major oil company, and they were accused a number of years ago of killing like 14 mallard ducks that had flown into one of their pools or something like that, and they got some oil on their feathers and they died. And you know, so it was 14, and they were going to. They were even going to impose potentially criminal penalties against this company. Meanwhile, I mean, you have tens of thousands of birds that are killed by wind turbines every year, and they're exempt from the Endangered Species Act and all of these other things. So it's a little hypocritical.
Yeah, and I think that ought to be known. I think it's just that people don't necessarily know that. So let's go back to the nuclear power plants for a moment, because you said in your article, over the past 6 months, at least four major nuclear power plants have been slated for shutdown, including the last one in operation in California. Why? Is it because of, that movie they made back in the late 1970s, partly because of that Three Mile Island?
The China Syndrome?
Yeah, the China Syndrome. Yeah. That kind of thing.
Yeah. I do think one of the things that happened to nuclear power that was really quite devastating was when they had, remember the tsunami in Japan?
Oh, yeah.
And they had the nuclear accident.
Yeah.
And that spooked people about nuclear energy. And so, but the future in nuclear energy, because I've been doing some research on this, isn't to have these massive reactors like we built in the 1970s, but smaller, what we call kind of micro-nuclear plants that are much smaller, so the danger of a nuclear accident would be minuscule compared to the big, huge reactors. And those are the kind of nuclear plants that could provide enough energy and very reliably and clean and safe for a neighborhood or a town. So you'd have more of them, but they would be, less susceptible to terrorism or, you know, in this case, like a tsunami caused the accident or an earthquake or things like that. So, look, the point is every form of energy that we use, Jerry, has risks, right? You mentioned, you know, tens of thousands of birds are killed by windmills. The solar panel has wind. If you use oil, you have to have the tankers and so on. They might spill. I mean, there's all sorts of, coal. People die in coal mining accidents. So every form of energy has a risk. You have to just really assess the risk versus the benefits. And if you do so, then we should be using our fossil fuels. And the good news is we have more fossil fuels than any other country in the world. We have 500 years worth of coal, 250 years worth of natural gas, and almost an equal amount of oil. And we're finding more of it all the time. So the point is, we're an energy-rich country, Jerry. There's no country in the world that has more energy than we do, maybe other than Saudi Arabia, and yet we're not using it. And that's a problem.
All right, Steve Moore, thank you so much for joining us. FreedomWorks.org for more information. All the best, Steve. Thank you.
Thank you, Jerry.
All right, bye-bye.